And if we're going to do ministry God's way, he calls us to press towards the mark. Spiritual excellence is not going to be automatic.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Our broadcast this evening is another in our series, Doing Church God's Way. Our speaker this evening is Dr. Raphael Thomas. Dr. Thomas will be using as his main text 1 Timothy chapter 4 as he brings a message highlighting three things that must characterize the ministry of the Lord's servant if he or she is to do ministry God's way. Turn there with us now and listen as Dr. Thomas brings the first part of his message, Doing Ministry God's Way. Here now is Dr. Thomas.
Once again, I greet you in the mighty name of Jesus, the all-powerful name that is above every name. This morning, we continue our studies in the book of 1 Timothy. We have been looking at the theme, Doing Church God's Way. And today, we will talk about doing ministry God's way. And this weekend has been our mission's focus weekend. We remind ourselves of the mandate that the Lord has given to us and challenge ourselves and each other to respond to that mandate, doing ministry God's way. And as we look around us, there is no shortage of opportunity to do ministry. So it would be wise to pray like the little fellow who fell in a barrel of molasses. And when he sank to his neck and it reached his mouth and he tasted it, he prayed, Lord, please give me the capacity to access my opportunity. There are a lot of opportunities around. Even like the mosquito who found himself in a nudist colony. So much opportunities to share about Jesus. They are confronting us all around. Yet some of us pass them by without seizing the moment. It is my prayer that indeed God would use us to harness the opportunities that we have around us to speak about Jesus. I take us to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Let's bow for prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for this day. We bow before you today, Lord God, asking for fresh anointing. We come recognizing our own insufficiency. And we ask, God, that you will speak through us, speak to us, manifest your presence, and give us the hearts to obey your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Doing ministry God's way. Now, in verse 1 of the text, as Paul continued to exhort Timothy about doing church God's way, and as he gave him specific exhortations about how to maximize his ministry. He comes to chapter 4, he says, "Now the Spirit expressly says," I want to camp out there for a moment. "The Spirit expressly says." Now, Paul wanted Timothy to recognize that doing ministry is dependent upon the Holy Spirit. The writer says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Doing ministry is a spiritual activity. We need God's presence, God's anointing, God's direction, God's energy to do ministry. And the Holy Spirit continues to speak. The Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits. So, whereas he made reference there to the work of the Holy Spirit, he wants us to recognize that there are some other spirits which are opposing the work that God has called us to. He says there are deceiving spirits. And it goes on to make reference to doctrines of demons. Now, in our time, we are seeing the proliferation of cults and even the occult. It is now easy to do a course in occultism at universities. You can even get a full bachelor's degree in the occult. You don't have to look very far to access the cults and the occults. And some of you who have been following the news in Jamaica will hear about this group that, this cultic group. It was supposed to be a church with its bishop and so forth, but which ended up performing human sacrifice. The Spirit warned from then that in the latter days, there are going to be those who will depart from the faith. They are going to turn away from the truth. They are going to be led astray by demonic spirits, deceiving spirits. It is therefore important that we listen to the Spirit of God and anchor ourselves in the Word of God. I would like to bring to our attention three things that will help us to ensure that we do ministry God's way. If we look at the text, the Bible tells us, if you instruct the brethren in these things, verse 6, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And that is what we want to be, a good minister of Jesus Christ. We want to be able to please the Lord as we do ministry. Look at verse 7. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. Now, since ministry is a spiritual activity, one of the things that we have to give ourselves to is spiritual exercise. He says, for bodily exercise profits a little. Now, there is some benefit to bodily exercise. You know that when you do exercise, it significantly impacts your health. But it takes discipline. It calls for focused attention. Now, if physical exercise can be so challenging, we have to recognize that spiritual exercise is going to also call for some level of determination and focus. But it is good for us if we are going to be good ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things. He was saying the benefits of spiritual training, spiritual exercise, even outweighs the benefits of physical exercise. Because it says, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Spiritual exercise yields benefits that affect us here as well as in the life to come. How are you with your spiritual exercises? How are you with making a deliberate effort to train yourself in godliness? Paul was writing to Timothy, and he said, it is important that you give yourself to training in godliness, that you give yourself to spiritual exercise. You know, if you want to excel in athletics, you have to give yourselves to exercise, to training. If you want to embrace a good career, you have to give yourself to discipline and training and study. How about your spiritual life? Do we leave it to chance? Are we putting in things in our lives that will help us to enhance our spiritual life? If we are going to be good ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if we're going to do ministry God's way, he calls us to press towards the mark. Spiritual excellence is not going to be automatic. It is going to take effort. It is going to take determination. When we think about the disciplines like just reading the Word of God, just having a quiet time each day. Sometimes it is so difficult to ensure that the busyness of our time does not crowd out our time with the Lord. Prayer time, fasting time, meditation upon the word of the Lord. We have to deliberately make these spiritual exercises a habit. And when they become habits in our lives, they become more naturally a part of our lives. And somebody points out that habit is hard to break. Because if you take off the H of habit, you still have a bit. And if you take off the HA, you still have bit. And if you take off the HAB, you still have it. We have to work hard to get it right down to the T. In his book, Celebration of Discipline, Richard Foster explores the inward, the outward, and the corporate disciplines of the Christian faith. We have to plan. We have to be deliberate. We have to press. We have to guard our spiritual life. Somebody says, take time to be holy. Speak oft with the Lord. You know, sometimes when we have some important activities to attend to, we even take off a day from work because we have some important things to deal with. How about taking off a day just to seek God in prayer and fasting, just to develop your spiritual life because you want to do ministry God's way and you want to give yourself to spiritual exercise? Pablo Casals was considered the greatest cellist to ever live. When he was 95 years old, he was asked why he continued to practice 6 hours a day. He answered, because I think I am making progress. George Mueller read the Bible through over 100 times. He also wrote 30,000 letters per year for 40 years. He had 9 assistants working in 12 languages. He pastored 1,200 believers. He had the oversight of 5 large orphanages and a huge publishing house, printed and distributed millions of books, tracts, and Bibles. He said, "I never think of going to my work without first giving a good season of time with God and my Bible." One of my friends said she developed an approach to her Bible. No Bible, no breakfast. Martin Luther said, "I have so much to do today that I'm going to need to spend 3 hours in prayer in order to be able to get it all done." And it seems like the more time you spend in prayer, the more you get done. But sometimes the devil deceives us. You have so much to do, you cannot afford more than 5 minutes today for your devotions. Does that sound familiar? If we are going to be good ministers, if we are going to harness the opportunities, if we are going to be sensitive to the leading of God's Spirit, we have to give ourselves to the spiritual exercises. We have to train ourselves in the spiritual disciplines. We have to give ourselves to preparing for the work that the Lord has called us to. But it is not only the spiritual exercise that is important. He says to Timothy, "I also want you to bear in mind the spiritual example." In verse 12, the Bible says, "Let no one deceive your youth." Or despise, I'm sorry. The first one was, "Let no one deceive you." Now, "Let no one despise you. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Not only do we need to give ourselves to spiritual exercises, but to the spiritual examples. What does the word example suggest to you? The word example tells us that the person or thing is like a model that others can imitate. Paul was saying to Timothy, you must so live your life that others can look at you and pattern you. We are called to be spiritual examples. And he lists 6 areas that he encouraged Timothy to be an example. Number 1, be an example in word. Growing up, I used to hear little children say, "Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words cannot harm me." But you know, words are very powerful. And words can do significant damage. And as well, words can bring about healing. So Paul said to Timothy, "Timothy, be an example in what you speak, how you speak. Give attention to words. Be an example in how you communicate with others." Many people can be turned off a life just by one word you say to them. So give attention to word. But also give attention to your conduct, how you behave yourself, your spiritual walk. You must be a model. You must be someone that your behavior can attract them to Christ. When they look at you, even if you don't say anything, when they look at your behavior, they must note something about you that will bring them to Christ. You know, I remember the Bible telling us that after Lazarus was risen from the dead, people came to see Lazarus, and many of them came to Jesus. If we say we are risen in Christ, we must be a calling card that people are drawn to us. And when they are drawn to us, they are drawn to Jesus, because it's not about us, it's about Jesus. How is your conduct? Is it a good example in your workplace, on the street? I'm not talking about just when you are in church among fellow believers. You know, some young people have a way of changing their lifestyles when they go off to college. How are you when you are in a situation that people don't know you? And your parents are not around and your pastor is not around. Be an example, nevertheless. He calls us to be an example in word, in conduct, but in love. How is your love for people? How is your love for God manifested and impacting others? The writer says, how can you say that you love God when you see your fellow men in need and you shut up your bowels of compassion? How is the love of God flowing through you? Be an example, he says, Timothy, in love. People are longing to see real, genuine love. They are not so much impressed with our theology and our ideology and our philosophy. They want to see real love, because people are crying out for true love. Stories told of this man who saw his friend at the airport, and when he dropped his bag and ran and gave him a hug, somebody looked on and said, "Are you brothers?" He said, "We are brothers in the Lord." And he said, "This is the kind of love that I long for." Are they seeing the love of Christ? The songwriter asked the question, is the love of God flowing through you? Be an example in word, in conduct, in love, but also in spirit. Your attitude could be your spirit there, or could be the Holy Spirit at work. But the spiritual dimension to your life must be an example to others.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550. Or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.